from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking the fabric of our being, looking at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that Polished Look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a look with us. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding Mars Curiosity and electronic with a blue moon universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, you could tell we're having a good time over here. And despite what the music connotates, Susie is back from her brief little visit to Barcelona, and we want to welcome her back. I got to share with you a few things that happened, a lot of stuff to share with you throughout the day today. Of course, astronomical events, too, taking place. Here on the Earth, we've got Hurricane Isaac tearing apart the East Coast, the southern East Coast of the United States. Interesting phenomena. It was so much rain coming down and so much force that the Mississippi River was caught flowing backwards. Okay, I mean, think about that. Think about how much power there is. And of course, we've got a blue moon coming up tonight on this August 30th, a very special day for us and our family. Our firstborn, Badurjan, it's his birthday. And we've got a blue moon this 26th year later. So a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff going on. But we're really happy that Susie's back with us today. And we have to apologize. We had a major, major glitch in our system. And Susie producing the show from Barcelona was a difficult task. And it didn't come out without a hitch. There was some problems. And those of you who did not get last week's podcast, we did put it out. Because of the glitch, some of you got it. It was on our website on epostle.net. You could listen to it from the website. You could download it from the website. But all the other avenues that we had, particularly all the little vendors, iTunes, Stitcher, our app that pick up the feed, these feeds were not given. So right now we're trying to work out the situation, and hopefully by tonight you'll get that. But do check out last week's podcast. Well, let me tell you about that in a few minutes. Okay, I'll share that with you in a few minutes. But this was an interesting, just a last few minutes ago, okay? We were looking for some music to connotate that Susie is back from her vacation in Barcelona. We looked up some Spanish music. Guess what we found? Yep, that's right. Aram Khachaturian, featured on a CD called Spanish Guitar Classics. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, Aram Khachaturian, internationally renowned. Not Armenian. He is ethnically Armenian, but he is international in scope in his music. Internationally recognized composer. Okay. Appearing on Spanish classical guitar music. Interesting. Now, why is this interesting for me in particular? Because we go through so many discussions about identity, ethnic identity. This is an important discussion for a group of people living in diaspora. In other words, living outside of a homeland, outside of a country that traditionally has defined you specifically Armenians being defined by that land, that culture, and now outside of that land, what is the definition? What is Armenian? And then you hear a piece of music that is recognized many times by actually, I don't want to say all Armenians, but most Armenians will recognize Aram Khachaturian's Saber Dance above anything else that he's composed, despite he's composed incredible, incredible music and such a large collection and volume of music. Yet Saber Dance is always identified as the Aram Khachaturian song. I want to say tune, because it really is more of a tune that Armenians identify with. And all of a sudden, we find it here on this podcast that we have about Armodoxy, and we're looking for some Spanish music, and we find this little gem. Anyway, we will put a link on our show notes to it and to the entire album. Just a small little sideline, okay? And it plays into the whole discussion of identity. Now, is that song a Spanish classical song? Is it a classical song? Is it an Armenian song? How do you define Armenianism? How do you define a song? Is it okay to use music that is known really internationally? It's a universal language. Is it okay to identify it ethnically? Well, a lot of stuff that you could talk about. A lot of things that you could look into. And, you know, we've pondered this in our podcast. And I'll take a little swipe at making a shameless plug for our archives. Do check out the archives. They're all at epostle.net. A lot of times we've discussed identity in different ways, spiritual identity, ethnic identity, personal, people identity. And I think when we talk about music, we should never forget that it really does belong to a people, to a group of people that is known as the human race. And so, anyway, it was a nice little gem that we pulled out today, and we'll definitely put a little link on our show notes so you could check it out. Today, I want to share with you a lot of other things, a lot of other concepts, a lot of other ideas that have been floating around in my head, particularly since last week. Now, let me back up to last week, okay? We did a podcast with Linda Zadoyan, and it was really a premier podcast. It was Compass number 29. And we talked specifically about the issue that was taking place in Pussy Riots in Russia and the Russian Orthodox Church. And from there, we got an incredible number of responses. Unlike anything else, which made me think that, okay, sometimes you have to step it up. And there's something to be said about the shock value, right? Shock value, and people will react to it. But we got a disproportionate number of responses. And I did want to share with you some of my feelings toward those responses. But before we even saw any of the aftermath of it, now this is last Thursday. So Compass was produced and it went out last Thursday, and I would say within 5 or 6 hours after that we produced the next step and it was out on the net partially. Now I did mention a few minutes ago we did have some computer glitch and it hasn't been resolved as of yet, but I'm sure it will be by the time this one gets out. But Next Step number 220 is only on the Epostle website, and it is on our blog site. site. You could check those out. You can get to it through epostle.net, and you can listen to it. But so many of our listeners download it from iTunes, listen to it on Stitcher Radio. So many of our listeners use other means of getting to the next step, including burnt CDs, which I don't know if people got a chance to burn it because of the issues that we went through, and of course on the smartphone app. Now these distribution points, let's call them, were all affected by the computer glitch. So if you didn't get to 20 last week, do check it out. It was an important one, because it was a very, very important one in light of what happened on Compass number 29. Because we got to some issues that were really, really, to me, fundamental in what we're doing as a ministry, fundamental in what we're trying to really get across in Armadoxy. Because, you know, we always talk about the Christianity being hijacked, okay, that there are fundamentalists out there who have hijacked Christianity. And certainly one of the issues that we talked about last week, you know, in the next step, I talked about that there are things that are not all small stuff. That there are larger issues. And in particular, I cited one of the situations had taken place, young children going to an Armenian church camp and being exposed to a priest who was talking about end of world theology, talking about things that were definitely not orthodox, but all under the guise of some kind of a Christian mission, fundamentalist ideology, scaring poor kids. And it shows that there's a lack of leadership. A lack of leadership when it comes down to orthodoxy. And so when I talk about Armenian orthodoxy and the fundamentals of Armadoxy, basically putting away all the trappings and understanding what's out there. What did Jesus Christ mean when he said, love your neighbors, love your enemies, forgive those people, remember to pray for those people who persecute you? And isn't that an incredible message that we need to share? And instead, people talking about, you know, heaven being lined with gold, and if you're a bad person, you're going to hell and you're going to be burning in there. I mean, these little kids are just like scared to death. You don't want to bring people to God through fear. I mean, you've tried that and it's failed miserably. So why keep doing it? Isn't that the insanity that Einstein talked about? Keep doing the same things, expecting different results. You've got generations that are scared and walk away, that are all screwed up in the head because of these weird ideas and concepts that they have of God. And so when I think about that the Christian church, Christianity has been hijacked by fundamentalists. We talk about this all the time. Last week was an opportunity for me to see that really orthodoxy has been hijacked by a group of people that want to pretend that orthodoxy belongs in history books and is not relevant today. Orthodox theology means the straight path. Ortho, it means the straight way. Orthodoxy, it comes to us from the not only from the time of Christ, and this is the fundamental difference in what I preach over here in Armadoxy and what you hear everywhere else. It's not about a 2,000-year-old tradition. It's not about a message out of the Old Testament aligning us with chosen people. It's about going to time zero. It's a God message. And it is highlighted throughout history, not only in the Old Testament, but history of the planet, of the cosmos, of the universe. And Jesus Christ is the incarnation of love who comes and preaches, and not only preaches, but demonstrates in his life, demonstrates with his example what God is all about. And so now we have this opportunity to be united with God. And it's very unfortunate because people have hijacked even Orthodoxy. We were reading comments, people leaving comments with us about the Pussy Riots. I mean, folks, do you get it? Jesus Christ was the original Pussy Riot. Jesus Christ was the one who went into the temple and said, "This is not what it's about." He went against the system. He looked at the temple, and it was the most sacred space that there could be, okay? This is what we fail to remember, that Jesus Christ was a revolutionary. He turned over the tables. Revolve, okay? Revolution. And those tables were not just about the temple. He turned over the temple, the tables of life. He said, "This is not the way it's supposed to be. God is something that is inside and outside of you. The kingdom of heaven has been enacted. It's right now. It's not something to come in some future time. But right now, in your presence, the kingdom has been manifested." And of course, he's talking about himself. Love has been, has taken form. Love has been revealed. The incarnation, revelation, there it is. It's in their presence. And when he goes into the temple, he says, "You guys have got it all wrong." He turns over those tables. That's not just the temple over there. That's the temple of life. He's saying, "You've got to turn it over. It's got to be enacted right now. God has got to be in your life right now. It's not something that you wind up on Sundays alone. It's something that you live every single day of your life. God's goodness, that love has to be manifest in the relationships that you have. That peace has to transcend the pages of the Bible or the holy books. That peace has to be in your life right now. You have to work towards peace." Last night at the Republican convention, I was listening to Condoleezza Rice's speech. Very articulate woman, as was the vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan. Very articulate in their speeches. But Condoleezza Rice made the point very clear that might is the way that you bring about peace. You have to be strong. You have to go and be stronger than the other person. Okay, now this is one way of looking at life, and it's arguable. You can argue that, right? Jesus Christ said something else. He said, "Pick up the sword and you're going to die by the sword." He said, "There is a power that is greater than evil. There is a power that is greater than that force that you're putting out there, and it's the force of love." Now, we haven't tried this. We haven't tried it. So it behooves us first to try it, and then criticize it. I know people, yeah, you can't win wars with love. Now, let me tell you that there is a group of people that have done exactly that. We're talking about survival. We're talking about prospering. We're talking about moving forward. Yes, despite genocide. Despite wars, despite all the powers out there, the power of love has allowed a group of people that have practiced in ancient times Armodoxy and is being brought to us today. That's the purpose of this ministry, to bring it to you, because we fight these wars and we need a revolution. You need a revolution. You need to believe that there is something great here. And it's not all written in the Bible. It's not all just what you've been taught through the movies, through speculation. One guy got up on a blog and he said, "Okay, yeah, this is great that you're doing about Pussy Riots." Then in parentheses, he has to incorporate that the Armenian church is non-Chalcedonian. Woohoo! You don't even know what that means. You don't even know the decisions that were made at Chalcedon. Chalcedon was the fourth ecumenical council for the West and for the Eastern, the bigger block of Eastern Orthodox churches. And the decisions were rescinded later. They found that, you know, we were all talking about the same thing. But, you know, it's like a dividing point. You know, divide. Let's divide. Imagine there's no borders. Imagine there's love. Imagine there's an opportunity. That's what Armodoxy is about. That's what the Orthodox tradition is all about. It's not about this Jesus Christ who's found in an icon. That icon is reflected affecting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all over. He is love, and he's taking form. The idea that you go into a church and everything should be prim and proper is foreign to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, go into a church and your soul should stir. When the Blessed Mother of God was visited by Elizabeth, the mother of St. John the Baptist, what happened? The babe within her womb jumped. That's what happens in the presence of Christ. You need to jump. You need to be revolved. You need to be renewed. You need to be born again. You need to start again. It is a newness. And ironically, that is what tradition is. The tradition is to find that newness, to start again, to be born again, to start. And, you know, you get caught up in the words. Non-Chalcedonian. Chalcedonians! Eastern, Western. You even get caught up in these terms of orthodoxy. We are orthodox. Big words. Born again! Oh, born again means that you are Protestant. No. Jesus used all these words. He said these words that come out of your mouth are the tools that you're going to be using. But the bigger tools is the life that you're going to be living. Get out there and live that life. Maximize your potential. Be a person. Be a reflection of God's goodness in all that you do. And he challenged us to think outside of the box. What was the story of the Good Samaritan? Have you ever thought about that? What was the story of the Good Samaritan? Oh, we talk about that. We love the story in our Sunday school classrooms, right? We talk about the Good Samaritan. Who understands the Samaritan? Do you understand when Jesus Christ brought up the Samaritans, he was talking about Pussy Riot? He was talking about a group of punks. The Samaritans were the punks. Nobody liked them. And I challenge you that if today Jesus Christ came and he spoke to you, if he got up in the Orthodox Church and made that same story of the Good Samaritan, he would use Pussy Rock. He would use a punk rocker as the star of the show. As I'm convinced that if he came to Armenia and he talked about a priest and a Levite, he wouldn't be talking about terms that people wouldn't understand. He'd say a priest was walking by and a politician was walking by, and then a Turk stopped and helped the man. A Turk stopped and tended to his wounds. A Turk stopped and took him to the hospital and paid for the bills. And when he turns to the people and he says, of the three people, which was the neighbor to this man? You would have to look and you'd say, oh, it was that punk rocker. It was the Turk. That's what Jesus did. He took us out of our comfort zone. He says it's not about comfort. It's about being uncomfortable. And to me, that was the power last week that we had. And I apologize that you didn't get a chance to hear the second part. And do listen to Next Step 220, because it was an important addendum to what we did in Compass number 29. So there's a lot of things that are evolving. And I hope you're with me right now, because, you know, this to me is an evolution. As we talk, this is a stream of consciousness that we're sharing with you. I shared with you in the past, I want, and I'll never deny this. I start off every podcast. I start off every sermon that I give. Everything that we put out on the net is started off with this small little song of praise. Prayer of praise. Prayer request. Lord, if you open my mouth, I will sing your praise. Lord, if you open my mouth, I will sing your praise. Because it's about you. And by being about you, it means it's about love towards one another. As St. John the Evangelist says, you cannot love God who you do not see when you don't love the brother that you do see. I can't keep hate in my heart and say I love God. It doesn't make sense. And in fact, that's not what God wants from us. That's the table that Jesus turns over. He says, it doesn't belong in my church. You need to be open with your feelings. We're going to take a break now. We've got the song of the day. I'm picking out a different song for right now. A little bit of, it's actually from a group and that I love going and listening to. A gentleman, Ara Dabanjan, who has done a few projects with us too. Our effort for Darfur last year. Just a wonderful talent. A musician that we have a lot of respect for. This is Element Band. And I think you'll know why I picked out this song. And I think I at the beginning I said that I think you'll know why I picked out that song. I don't think you'll know all the reasons. Okay, first of all, the guitar strumming at the beginning was reminiscent of the Spanish music we were trying to conjure up some images of Susie enjoying herself out in Barcelona. And so when I heard that guitar riff at the beginning, I had to play it. Element Band, they are local here in the Southern California area, but international. Scope put out some great, great music. We will have a link on our show notes today to not only this album, but all their music. But the last reason why I picked out this song, I was doing a search. I wanted to speak a little bit about Ayn Rand and A-Y-N. And the search came up, Ein Kishet, That Night, the name of the song. Pretty cool, huh? Hey, you're saying, why are you telling us this? We just wanted to hear a song. Well, you need to know some of the background. You know, after all, we're friends. We've got to share some of the secrets with each other, right? Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll put a link on our show notes. Do check out not only this song, but all the wonderful music that's put out by the Element Band, Ara Dabanjan. Hope you enjoyed it. Here in the United States, we are getting ready for a presidential election. In just a couple months, we will be electing the next president who may be renewed. Here in the United States, we have 2-term limit on president. So President Obama may be reelected, or he may be unseated, and another person may be elected. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Mitt Romney against President Obama in the election in November. And I'm always fascinated by election time for many reasons. On a human level, it's just interesting to see how politics plays out. I'm fascinated by the rhetoric. You know, fascinated in this sense that words delivered in a unique manner, a string of words, the way it conjures up emotions, that people are willing to put themselves out. And I'm including myself in the mix, too. Yes, I am. I'm taken by words. I'm taken by rhetoric, too. We all are. You know, you hear it. And you've got to juggle. You've got to figure out which words are true. How feasible is it for these politicians to do the things that they promise to do? And you get let down sometimes. Sometimes you're ready to applaud and you say, okay, they fulfilled their part of the bargain. They fulfilled the promises that they made. Or you come out empty-handed and then you're ready to curse these people. But like it or not, the world is shaped by politics, and politics are very much a part of the life that we live. You talk about, well, we have your religious show, but don't forget it's the politics that deals with the economy. The economy is what gives us the means and the funds to buy our Bibles, to buy our podcasting material, to get out there. It's all interconnected, folks. You know, you're no longer this one little hermit that's sitting up in a mountain with a pen and paper and lighting a candle and saying, okay, inspire me. No matter what, you're getting your feed, you're getting the information to you, you're even using the economy, the politics, to get the gas, to buy the fuel, to go from one place to the next, to get to your churches, to get to your religious gatherings. Even if you're going out there to feed the homeless, you're doing it because of politics, and the politics are the reason why there are homeless. I mean, it's all connected. And don't fool yourselves by saying, hey, I'm not concerned about politics. I don't participate in elections. I don't care about religion. It's all connected. There aren't people that you can't excuse religion. You can't excuse politicians or politics. It's interesting, right? What's the first rule of social behavior? Don't discuss politics and religion in mixed company. I mean, if you want to stay friends with somebody, don't discuss politics and religion, right? Interesting. Those two things. Comes down to that. Because we're so wound up about it. These are dividing points. John Lennon, when he says, imagine there is no country, imagine there is no religion. Well, what is the goal of that imagination? Why does he talk about imagining a world like that? Because the goal of that is these things have divided us. So the goal of imagining a world without the political boundaries, without the countries, without the religion, is so that we can have peace. What divides us, let's get rid of those things, and then we will be united. It's a wonderful way of looking at it, but you got to remember that these things are part of the world right now. Yeah, it would be great if we could all dump everything and understand ourselves as humanity, but you know that at this point in our history, we're not there. There's still wars, and these wars are caused because of the politics that we're playing. People want to say it's because of religion, but it's because of the politicians and the politics of that religion. Uh-huh. Right? It's not about the faith. If you look at what Jesus Christ is teaching, he's not talking about going out there and killing people, but it's what we have made of that message. That somehow there is a structure, a hierarchy, and that if, hey, if this is my faith and it's not yours, I have a right to impose myself on you. And you know how the discussion goes, and it goes on and on and on. So when we get to this point here in the United States, when we are ready to select the next leader of this giant superpower of the United States of America, it's very interesting to me how all of these factors play in, how they meet each other. Last night, we're listening to the Republican National Convention. And it's interesting because the presidential election officially begins at a point, a celebration that we have, a holiday here in the United States called Labor Day, and that's this weekend. So we've got the two main political parties, the Republican Party that has their convention this week, a couple days before Labor Day, and the Democratic Party, the other main party in the United States, a couple days after Labor Day. So officially, within the next week, we'll see a full blown-out campaign. And after the rhetoric we heard last night, of course, it's going to be up to the Democrats to fight back. Them are fighting words, they'll say. And they'll come out with their own platform and go back and forth. And there's a lot of hot-button issues that are coming up. Issues that will demand us to give a response as a community of believers, as a community of faith. Last night in the speech that was given by Paul Ryan, he is the running mate of Mitt Romney. So he will be, if he is elected, he will become the vice president of the United States. And it was very interesting because he didn't shy away from religion. And this is also something that caught my interest. It's so easy to discount religion or not to talk about it. It's easier. Well, like this, the saying goes, don't talk about it in mixed company. You want to keep some friends, don't talk about it. And it was very interesting last night. Not only did he talk about it, but he united some concepts that was very, very interesting for me. He basically united the Catholic tradition, the Roman Catholic tradition, which he is a member of the Roman Catholic Church, with the Mormon tradition. Uh-huh. Not even a Christian community. He united him around the sensitivity towards the pain of others. He united him around the social aspect of wanting to love and care for others. And it makes you think, this is the interest that comes to me. What is the purpose of all religion if not to bring about peace, if not to find a way of coordinating our efforts to work together in harmony? So is it so bad that you put together all of the different factors? In other words, can we come up with a list and say these are the things that we have in common rather than a list that says these are the things that separate us? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes the valley is so deep, the cliffs are so far apart that you can't even make sense out of it. It's like living in two worlds. I've shared this with you in the past. I mean, this is my problem with the Jehovah's Witness. It's not about my God is better than their God. It's not about my stories are different than your stories. It's about that they their doctrine and what they preach is, well, separates people, separates families. They preach hatred. Hatred of others who don't have their belief, and intolerance, not even being able to go to visit, not even being able to. I've had many, many baptisms, weddings that I've officiated at, and members of families don't come. And why? Because they're part of the Jehovah's Witness, and their tradition tells them they cannot enter into a church. Now, this to me is disturbing. It's disturbing that it's not a question of my faith is better than your faith. It's not my God is stronger than your God. It's a question of them saying that we do not want to participate, and we will push it to the point where families will break up. Families will have enmity towards one another, members of the family. And that to me is really silly. You can't even consider it a faith because it breaks up people. It spews hatred. It's silly, yes, it is. That's the only way to describe it. It doesn't belong in the religious camp. Religion has to be a means of promoting peace, of bringing love. And that is the one thing that I can't tolerate. I'll tell you, I can't tolerate their intolerance. Does that work? I cannot tolerate intolerance. That's got to work. It works for me. But in that intolerance, we've got to find avenues. We've got to find ways of bringing people around so that we can get along. And it's nobody else who's going to do it. If the other person is intolerant of us, we've got to accept the challenge of finding means of making it work. And I hope that in the next few weeks, as we get ready for the election here in the United States, we'll use this as an opportunity to challenge our senses, to challenge our beliefs, our belief systems, so that we can have a discussion. We can look at our lives. It's not about just pointing fingers at other people, but looking at our lives and how we can become part of the solution. Let's take a break right now. We've got Ani with her bubbles, spiritual bubbles. It's a best of series. I hope you enjoy this one.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a message written by the CEO of Coca-Cola. Imagine life as a game in which you are juggling some 5 balls in the air. You name them: work, family, health, friends, and spirit, and you're keeping all of these in the air. You soon understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. But the other 4 balls, family, health, friends, and spirit, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, they will be scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. They will never be the same. You must understand that and strive for balance in your life. How? Don't undermine your worth by comparing yourself with others. It is because we are different that each of us is special. Don't set your goals by what other people deem important. Only you know what's best for you. Don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. Cling to them as you would your life, for without them, life is meaningless. Don't let your life slip through your fingers by living in the past or for the future. By living your life one day at a time, you live all the days of your life. Don't give up when you still have something to give. Nothing is really over until the moment you stop trying. Don't be afraid to admit that you are less than perfect. It is this fragile thread that binds each of us together. Don't be afraid to encounter risks. It is by taking chances that we learn how to be brave. Don't shut love out of your life by saying it's impossible to find. The quickest way to receive love is to give. The fastest way to lose love is to hold it too tightly. And the best way to keep love is to give it wings. Don't run through life so fast that you forget not only where you've been, but also where you're going. Don't forget that a person's greatest emotional need is to feel appreciated. Don't be afraid to learn. Knowledge is weightless, a treasure you can always carry. And don't use your times or words carelessly. Neither can be retrieved. Life is not a race, but a journey to be savored each step of the way. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Now, did you ever think of that? Did you ever think that you would get some spiritual inspiration from Coca-Cola? Maybe some business sense, but no, this was spiritual inspiration. That's what Ani does best. She gives us spiritual inspiration. This is from the Best Of series. This was originally produced back in February 2011. Ani will be back shortly with some live ones, but for right now, we're just enjoying sort of doing the Best Of series. And now here is somebody who is coming back to us from Barcelona, Spain. Oh, and did we ever miss her? She's coming back with, well, an important message. One we've heard, but still important. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We are on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
You know, it's getting easier to juggle all these instruments now that Ani's on a Best Of series. The harpist is also on hiatus right now. She's not here, so we've got just to deal with this big grand piano that gets moved in whenever Susie speaks. But that's just our segue to let you know that we have a lot of needs over here. We appreciate all that you do. All of those donors who give their donations, your kind prayers, your thoughts, your expressions of love, and most importantly, when you think about us, that you pray for us, that goes a long, long way. Thank you very much, and thank you for being a partner in this. Please do tell your friends about the Next Step and about Compass, about Epostle. You know, it's just as easy as spreading around a joke or one of those inspirational things, you know, those pictures of little kids and cats and all that, that you find so easy to say, I'm sharing this on the internet. Love to have you share the Next Step. Share Epostle with your friends and family. It's a quick way. It's one way that you can participate in this ever-expanding ministry. Well, before we bring today's show to an end, I just wanted to share a visual that I had this morning. It was watching the news. There was an incident that took place here in the Los Angeles area. The National Football League is going to be opening up a stadium in Los Angeles. They're going for permits. They're going for design reviews. And there was a small group of people protesting. And it was very, very sad protest pictures. Even the signs were just small little 8x10s, 8x11 and a half sheets of paper with some writing on it. And I felt bad because you know that big business, big politics are what's going to take over. And these people, they seemed very, very sincere in their desire to have their concerns addressed. You're putting in this giant stadium in the middle of Los Angeles, right in the Civic Center, and it's going to have incredible revenue for the city. But in the meantime, there's populations, there are people who are not being served by the city, and there's going to be impact one way or another. And I'm not making a case because I don't even know what their case is. But I'm talking about the issue of protest. And at the end of the day, you know that politics, being the way it is, that big business is what's going to take over. And of course, true to my form, I always want to bring this into the church. I think of the protest that we have for some of the difficulties, some of the problems that we perceive, and some of the things that are very real in the church, some of the problems that are taking place in the church, injustices. And you say, okay, well, we need to protest. But in the end, it continues. In Armenian, there's an expression, the dog barks and the caravan continues. It's so true. If you have a barking dog, which I do, you know that he barks. But people come and by and people go away. And you can bark all you want, but life continues. So along the way, you want to get the most bang for your buck. You want to make your bark count. You want to make that protest a true protest so that you can bring about change. And that's what we're trying to do through In Issues, through Armadoxy. We have a beautiful, beautiful thing in the Armenian Orthodox faith. A beautiful faith, a beautiful tradition. We have all the ingredients for making life work. It's all there. And on top of it, you've got a group of people who have made it work, who have implemented these principles, who brought in these ingredients into their lives, and despite crucifixions, wars, barbarians, people coming through, even genocide, they've been able to not only survive, but continue to live and prosper in that life. Yes, it hasn't been easy, but the ingredients are all there. And it's called Armadoxy. We've forgotten about it. Today, in the reality, it's been forgotten, even within churches, even within church communities. And this is why I'm calling on you to be part of this revolution, not with the 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper. When I saw that image this morning, it just made me think that, you know what, that you can bark, but the caravan's going to go by. You need to be able to put a bite into that bark so that the caravan will at least stop for a moment, will at least take notice and say that, you know what, there is something wrong over here. We do have a flat tire. Let's fix it so our caravan can march quicker, can get through quicker. And this is what I'm calling on everybody to do. Make your voice heard. There is a project right now. That's this project, Epostle, In His Shoes. It's implementing Armadoxy. It's putting into motion all that we have learned, putting in the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of love and compassion, and not apologizing for it, putting it and implementing it in our lives and in the lives that we affect. That's what it's about. So that's my plea for you. That brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Please, if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's, I do invite you to get to our website and check out number 220 from the archives. And for today, this is episode number 221. We will be back after Labor Day, and starting off all kinds of things. It is the season to go back to school here in the, I want to say in the Northern Hemisphere, because I have a feeling that it's a little bit different in the Southern Hemisphere. And those of you in Australia and Argentina and listening to us in Peru, I know you have different hemispheric laws and different seasons and different customs that are taking place. But bottom line is we're going to be continuing, and there's always a freshness in our heart. Hey, tonight, I think tonight we get a blue moon. I remember a couple of weeks ago I was in Arizona for the first moon of August. First full moon, and so today is the second one. I believe if it's not today, it must be tomorrow, you do get a blue moon. I just thought about that since we were talking about hemispheric laws. Well, listen, Join us throughout the week at inissues.org. Join us at epostle.net, where you'll find today's podcast as well as all the other podcasts we've done from the beginning of time, including Compass, including In Step with Christ, our weekly video programming. Also, check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We've got a big, big walk coming up in the end of September. I'm going to be walking 39 miles with a group called In Her Shoes, Team In Her Shoes. We're going to be stamping out breast cancer. We'll be talking more about it next week. But all these things are available on the net, and I invite you to get involved with us. For the wonderful crew who put together today's show, for Vahe, our webman, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top, baby.